Amen, I say to you, unless you convert and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Words taken from today's Holy Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is noteworthy that the Gospel we read today will be read three times this week. In fact, we will have precisely the same Gospel again for the Feast of the Guardian Angels in a few days, and in a shortened form, the same Gospel for the Feast of St. Therese. We can understand this Gospel well enough for the Feast of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. But why is it mentioned on all these days, considering that it gives only passing reference to the angels? It speaks, above all, of childlike humility. How does this relate to the feast of the mighty angel whom we celebrate today? First of all, I would like to remind you of a fact that none of us can deny, especially in a year like this, which is an election season, and when so-called conspiracy theories fly about. I must remind you of a certain conspiracy that threatens each and every one of us. We cannot lay this conspiracy at the door of any one particular group or political movement. Millions upon millions of human beings are involved in this conspiracy, and most of them are not even aware of it. To make matters worse, this is not just a conspiracy theory. I prefer to call it a conspiracy fact, even a conspiracy dogma. It is, in fact, the one true conspiracy. It goes by many names, but we can use the name we employ every time we say the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, the wickedness and snares of the devil. As we celebrate this feast, today we also enter into the Feast of October, consecrated traditionally to the Holy Rosary, but also rightfully called the month of the Holy Angels, our elder cousins in creation. The human genome may have a lot in common with that of other animals, but we would do well to spend more time considering what the human soul has in common with other spirits and how it differs from them. First of all, let us dispel certain misconceptions about these elder cousins of ours in the spirit world. The angels, both good and bad, are spirits. They are not, although we often say this, they are not supernatural beings. God, strictly speaking, is the only supernatural being. He alone is entirely beyond the natural world which he created. Angels are a part of that natural world, just as much as you and I. Being spiritual and immortal just happens to be part of their nature. The only way the angels can share in supernatural life is the same way we can, by grace, that supernatural gift bestowed by God on rational creatures so that they might have eternal life in his presence. Thus, we can always take heart in the fact that if we are in the state of grace, we are more supernatural than the devil and his angels will ever be, because they have lost grace forever. You must also avoid the misconception that all angels are tidily tucked away in heaven or in hell, and that any angelic activity in our world is miraculous. After the Last Judgment, all human beings will have their bodies and will be in those two places. Angels do not have bodies. And if they act in our world, they do not leave heaven or hell in order to do so. That is to say, they do not leave their state of blessedness or damnation behind while they perform an action here. Of all the tales told, and indeed a very classic tale, of a man selling his soul to the devil in order to obtain benefits here and now, perhaps the most celebrated is that of Christopher Marlowe and Dr. Faustus. Once Faust calls up the devil and makes his deal, he then teases the devil a bit, asking if perhaps this is a lot of trouble for him to come and spend time with Faust, if in fact he misses hell while he's gone. To which the devil responds, "Why, this is hell, nor am I out of it. Think'st thou that I, who saw the face of God and tasted the eternal joys of heaven, am not tormented with 10,000 hells in being deprived of everlasting bliss?" No, angelic activity in our world is not unusual or miraculous. It is the common teaching of the fathers that nothing goes on in our world without the ministry of angels. Every nation, every church, every human being has an angel committed to him by God for his protection. The good angels, and they are the majority, act in our world because God has given them this charge. The bad angels are active in our world because they simply have nothing better to do. They have lost the life of grace, and so until the end of time, they pass their existence indulging in the two deadly sins of which they are capable, pride and envy. They gain nothing by getting us to join in their misery. But all the same, they do not want us to be happy. And so the Apostle Peter warns us, "Be sober and watch, for your adversary the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." But even this demonic activity in our world is a part of God's plan. And it is part of their punishment. The devils do not get a break from their torments when they assail us. St. Paul assures us, and we know it to be a truth of our faith, that no man is ever tempted beyond his strength. The apostle says that he himself was given an angel of Satan to buffet him in order to keep his pride in check. And when he begged to be delivered from this trial, our Lord told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." All the tireless labors of the devil and his minions serve only to exercise our virtue, for their power is chained by something which they can never have and which they despise above all other divine attributes: the mercy of God. And the mercy of God is given in abundance to all those who are humble and contrite of heart. Saint Michael merits to have this gospel read today because he is the supreme celestial example of childlike humility. He is all the more a great example of it because humility has never been called the angelic virtue. Chastity is called the angelic virtue, and this might seem to be a misnomer, for angels who have no bodies have no need to practice any form of temperance with regard to bodily appetites. We call chastity the angelic virtue because it is the virtue that makes human beings resemble the angels through the merit of practicing this virtue. All angels, by their very nature, appear pure in this respect. And yet the gospel refers repeatedly to unclean spirits. Some angels can be called unclean Because there is a virtue which, although most of them practiced it, many of them did not. The virtue of humility. When the greatest of all the angelic spirits, he who led the highest choirs and whose calling was to be the bearer of light, led a fearful host in prideful rebellion against God, a certain lowly angel rallied the heavenly throng to God's service with the cry that was none other than his own namesake, Michael, who is like God? And so humble Michael merited to hear these sweet words of the Eternal Father, Friend, go up higher. I will make thee prince of all souls that are to be saved. Saint Michael the Archangel, heavenly example of humility and childlike conversion, defend us in battle that we may not perish in the dread judgment. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.